Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Stephanie L. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, July 31st, 2026, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in Chapter 4, We Agnostics, on page 55. We're going to read the second full paragraph, beginning with, "Actually, we were fooling ourselves," ending with, "as facts as old as man himself." We are going to read and comment on that one paragraph this morning. Today's readers are Dorita P. reading the 12 steps, Janice P.M. reading the 12 traditions, Mary Frances W. is going to be reading the text, Shelley E. is reading page 164, and Janice P.M. is our backup reader today. Newcomer greeter is Jody E., and announcements will be Shelley E. The reference ID number for yesterday, Thursday, July 30th, 2026, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 23,680 or 23680. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,681 or 23681. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Dorita P. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Dorita.
Good morning. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we are powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having hit a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you so much, Dorita P. We'll now ask Janice P.M. to please read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Hey, Janice.
Hey, thank you. Good morning to you, Stephanie, and everyone. These are the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, and that's a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose. That's to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside property, of money, property, and prestige, divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain ever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Janice PM. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're in Chapter 4, We Agnostics, page 55. Beautiful paragraph this morning, guys. Second full paragraph, beginning with, actually, we were fooling ourselves, ending with, are facts as old as man himself. We are reading and commenting on that one paragraph this morning. And we'll now ask Mary Frances W. to begin reading. Good morning, Mary Frances.
Good morning, Stephanie. Can I be heard?
We can hear you. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Good morning, everyone. This is Mary Frances W., a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater just for today in Pennsylvania. Our reading, actually, we were fooling ourselves, for deep down in every man, woman, and child is the fundamental idea of God. It may be obscured by calamity, by pomp, by worship of other things, but in some form or other, it is there. For faith in a power greater than ourselves and miraculous demonstrations of that power in human lives are facts as old as man himself. Yes, what a beautiful paragraph. In the first sentence where they say we're actually fooling ourselves, it's referring back to that last sentence in the previous paragraph. We had seen spiritual release, but like to tell ourselves it wasn't true. It absolutely is true, as it says, for deep down in every man, woman, and child is a fundamental idea of God. And I looked, you know, some of these things up in this paragraph, and one of the things that I found, and I'll read this, is in the AA philosophy, an atheist or agnostic does not lack the inner spiritual spark. Rather, their awareness of it has been blocked or obscured by life's hardships, pride, or distractions. And that goes for people of faith as well. The calamity is the hardships. The pomp is my pride, and worship of other things speaks for itself. And then for faith and a power greater than ourselves, and miraculous demonstrations of that power in human lives are facts, actual facts, as old as man himself. When I came into the rooms, and it was a long time ago, I knew, or I believed I was different. I didn't understand how, but I didn't think like other people. I didn't behave like other people, and I was always on the outside looking in. I came into this meeting in February of 1983, and suddenly I wasn't the only one who thought how I thought. I wasn't the only one who behaved how I behaved. And I was a part of something. I belonged. To me, that's a miracle. And that at that time was not based on my faith. But I stuck around and I learned in a way that I could question what I had come to believe of God, who I thought was out to get me and was looking at everything I ever did wrong, to my own conception, which is this, you know, it's so indescribable, this God of ours. However, in human terms, my God is somebody who loves me no matter what, and my God is somebody who allows me to laugh at myself and not take myself so seriously. My God is someone who allows me to be open to new beliefs and new understandings of things that, you know, I was so closed. Like, I was such a closed person before I came into these rooms. And what a miracle of faith, you know, putting my faith in a power greater than myself, trusting that power to help me get through the steps and continue working these steps on a daily basis to achieve or to have a spiritual awakening. Who knew that I was walking around asleep? I was not
awake. Presence, that's time.
And with that, I will pass. And thanks, Stephanie, and thanks for letting me be of service.
Thank you so much. What a great way to open us up today. Thanks for your service. Well, we are now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you share it on Wednesday or Thursday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow time for as many people as possible to share. I will remind you when your time is up. So if you'd like to share, please let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Diane M.C., Chicago.
Got you, Diane M.C.
Paul R. from Los Angeles.
Paul, thank you so much. Got you, Paul.
Sherry H.M.
Was that Sherry H.M.?
Yes.
And where are you calling from, Sherry?
Washington State. Thank you.
Got you. Thank you so much. Who else would like to share?
Judith S. P.
Who was that?
Judith S. P.
Judith S. P. And you're calling from?
Maryland.
Gotcha, Judith.
Courtney J.
I didn't hear the first name. I heard J.
Courtney.
Courtney, and where are you calling from, Courtney?
North Carolina.
Got you, friend. Anyone else want to get in here? I thought for sure I wasn't going to be able to catch up. There'd be so many people who want to share. So, last one more time. Anyone else for the first lineup? Okay, I've got Diane M.C., Paul R., Sherry H.M., Jude S.P., Courtney J. We're going to go ahead and start with Diane M.C., followed by Paul R. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning. Thank you for hearing my name. It may be obscured by calamity, and then there's some examples given. And I read that and I thought, boy, we could probably add pages to other examples of obscurity, especially trauma, especially abuse, neglect that has wounded people greatly. And, you know, it's for that reason that I'm so glad that we just ask people to try to find a power greater than themselves, you know, put it in different terms, because sometimes the word God just makes people twitch. And put another word there then. But the important thing is, as we all know, the importance is connecting with that God of your understanding, however you identify it. That's the most important thing. And I wasn't always grateful for that broad-minded approach, but after hearing many stories and seeing recovery in others, I see such wisdom in going this route. And the other thing is, I really need to keep mindful that deep down in everybody is that fundamental idea of God, especially when, you know, I'm with someone who's very obstinate against God, living a life that's very self-absorbed, that very deep within there is that that truth, that fundamental idea of God, and we know that the God of their understanding is wanting a friendship there. They just aren't ready for it. Instead of focusing on just what is in my face, remember that the God within them. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Diane M.C. from Chicago. Next, we'll have Paul R., followed by Sherry H.M. Good morning, Paul.
Hi, good morning. This is Paul R., recovered compulsive eater from Los Angeles. What a beautiful, one of my favorite paragraphs in the whole big book. It just tells me so much, pretty much everything what's blocking me from really seeing what's the truth. And like all those negativity that is in my brain, it's, you know, like all those false dependencies that, you know, when I'm losing the weight, that I want to control the food, you know, all that like power, prestige, romance, sex, there's so many. And I'm not going to have this deep, effective spiritual awakening until I had this on the way. And it's just the paragraph, it just tells me everything right there. That's what's blocking me to see or to have this God's directed thinking. And until I have this pomp, calamity, and worship of other things, I'm going to have Paul's directed thinking. Unless I change it, unless I'm willing to see it, and I'm willing to ask for help. It's just a beautiful journey that I got to see that, got to practice this presence of God in a daily basis, and got to be abstinent. I celebrated my birthday on Monday, my nail birthday, and you know, usually I would want to celebrate with a cake. I would want to celebrate with a large bowl of food or like, you know, something bigger or different than other days. And I woke up on the day off and I was just extremely grateful. I actually extend my gratitude practice. I was just writing and journaling about like how grateful I am to be sober and abstinent with food. And giving this away to other people and trudging the road with other people is just the most beautiful things. And that is the biggest celebration in life, that I got to be abstinent and I don't have to celebrate with food anymore. I don't have to make it anything different than other than it was a previous day or a previous week or a previous month. I just do the same things. It's the same day. And it's just a privilege to participate in a meeting like this. I'm really grateful to be a part of this, or I get to participate in the visual meeting. And I think I'll end with that. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Paul R. from California, and perfect timing. Next, we've got Sherry H. M., followed by Judith S. P. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service and everyone who helps to make this happen. I'm Sherry with a C, Sherry H. M., calling gratefully recovered from Washington State. And this is, to me, about surrender. And let's see, on August 15th, 2014, I was sick and tired of my compulsive overeating disease because I had all these medical bills. It was just out of control. So I called up one of my Al-Anon sisters that told me about the program like 6 years before. And I just said, hey, can we meet, you know, and I want to hear all about your experience, strength, and hope. And so she told me about OA, and she told me about this meeting right here. And on the way home, this was at a Starbucks, I just threw up my hands, so to speak, still grabbing the steering wheel, guys, hang in there. So I threw up my hands and just said, okay, God, I cannot do this. I've tried everything I can. I have all these, you know, medical bills. I'm sick and tired. And please, please, just help me, show me and do this for me because I cannot do this alone. And so it's just such an absolute miracle that, you know, over a period of time by working the steps, and also texting a lot and calling people, obviously. But I would text, you know, whenever I was, before I really got through the steps, I would text a lot and say, hey, okay, so, you know, my family's going to this restaurant and you know, I just need to stay on my food plan. And, you know, it's just amazing. I don't miss it anymore. It's been many years. I just don't miss the sugar. It's just an absolute miracle. And my favorite line in the book is, God did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. And so, you know, I have a loving, kind, merciful God full of grace. And I just had to ask, and then I had to do my part. So you guys don't give up before the miracle. And thank you, and have a blessed day, and I pass.
Oh, thank you so much. Sherry H.M. from Washington. Next, we've got Judith S.P., followed by Courtney J. Good morning, Judith.
Good morning, Stephanie. Judith S.P. here in beautiful Maryland. I want to thank you and everybody for service, everybody speaking, everybody for listening. Yeah, I also thought I was going to be polite, which I'm working on, and I thought we'd be flooded with shares on this paragraph since it's the solution. I realized from studying the big book and trusting a higher power greater than myself that the root of all my problems, every single one, whatever size, is my self-centeredness. And in my years, it still lingers of being self-centered. I was totally blocked, and the blinds were closed, and everything wrong, which everything was wrong, was because of you, or my family, circumstances. And I couldn't let up on that pedal. And so I ended up having speed problems by going so fast, I couldn't even stop to think or feel that there had to be a way out. and there is a way out. It's a power greater than myself, out here, all around me, inside my soul, and in every single one of you. Because deep down inside, God resides in everything. I believe God resides in the birds singing, in the flowers growing, and the fruit bearing its deliciousness and so forth. But until, and it's a daily reprieve, I give myself over to the powers. There are so many of them. I have no excuse other than my self-centered disease to say I can't or I won't or how come you are not or this is the way life is. God is all around. Your voices, this meeting every day, three times before we go on with our day, 7, 8, and 10, to share about God, to share about our struggles, our successes, our recovery, our traumas, everything. My goodness, where can you go 5 days a week and be in fellowship like this? If that isn't God, I don't know where it is. So I'm going to pass now, and knowing God is working within me all the time to be of loving service and presence. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Judith S.P. from Maryland. Next, we've got Courtney J. And after Courtney, we're going to take another lineup. So get ready. So good morning, Courtney.
Good morning. This is Courtney calling from North Carolina, gratefully recovered one day at a time. Well, first I'll say this is one of my favorite paragraphs, and I was able to share that recently with somebody who called and was doing some homework, you know, as a newcomer and calling people to see what their favorite paragraph was. But anyhow, I think of my mother a lot with this. A lot of you who know my story, my mom was my spiritual rock and still is today, bless her in heaven. She convinced me that, you know, God loves me no matter what, when I would, you know, pour my soul out to her that I can't stop eating the sugar and whatnot. She was a very religious and spiritual leader for me. But so I've always known that God would love me, but I, you know, I was covering it up. I wasn't good enough for God, perhaps. But my disease was the thing that was obscuring me from the truth. And this is a true statement for me now, that the food is relieved. What else do I want to say? I want to say that, I just have a few things on my heart. I haven't been sharing lately. I've been out of the country, and that's not a good excuse. I know we take our program with us, but I did not in this arena as far as sharing. Anyhow, so I wanted to be heard and get back in the herd. And a little funny story, last night I had two young men come to the door sharing their church word and message and their Bible, and I told them that I found God through the 12-step program, and they wanted to, the young man was curious about it, he knew about AA and the Big Book, but he thought, isn't that a cult? And I didn't have a good quick answer. I said, well, you know, he said he's heard of that with AA, and I was like, later on, of course, I thought, well, I'm okay being a part of this cult. Anyhow, I did look that up, and there was some wee bit history about that being said in the old days. But anyway, I hope I let him know that that's how I found my God, this book, because of the parallel of the Bible and the Big Book, I believe is true. Let's see, what else? I'm not timing myself. Again, just glad to be here, grateful for this meeting, keep coming back to the newcomers. I know what else. I heard on a meeting the other day, OA is love. I wrote a story. I wrote an article one time for the OA newsletter or something, and that was the title of it, OA is love. this is where we need to be. We've, you know, I've hated myself all of my life. Okay. OA is love. I love you all. Keep coming back. Thanks for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much, Courtney J. from North Carolina. And before I get more names, let me remind y'all where we are. We are in Chapter 4, We Agnostics, page 55. We read the second paragraph, beginning with, actually, we were fooling ourselves, ending with, our facts as old as man himself. And we read that one paragraph, and that's what we're sharing on. And if you'd like to share, please let me know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Laura W.
in California.
Laura W., where are you calling from?
New Jersey.
Joy M.D., California.
Was that
Denise H., Kansas.
Sorry, just a moment. Joy, was that Joy M.B.?
Yes, California.
California, thank you so much.
Hillary B., California.
Denise H., Kansas.
I thought Hillary B., was that?
Yes.
And where are you calling from?
Thank you. Southern California.
California. And I've got you, Larry. Just give me one second.
Thank you.
Denise H.
Everyone else, hold on.
Denise H. Kansas.
I get you. Denise, I got you. Just one second, friend. And Larry, you're from California. I know everyone's excited. I love it, but I can only write so fast, guys. And Denise, what's your last initial?
H, like Harry.
Gotcha. And where are you calling from?
Kansas.
Gotcha. Denise?
Sherry N. from California.
Was that Sherry N. from California?
Harry with the C-A-R-R-I-E.
Was that Sherry with the C?
C-A-R-R-I-E.
Oh, Carrie. Gotcha. Okay. Sorry about that. And then there was a bunch of people after Carrie. And let me do a time check, though. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I think we have probably will be able to get a couple more in. Who else would like to share? Let me see who I have. And I know I'm pretty sure I missed someone. Who was that in Denver?
Jan C.
Jan C. I got you, Jan. So let's see, I've got Laura W., Joy M.B., Hillary B., Larry G., Denise H., Carrie N., and Jan C. Did I miss anybody? And actually, that'll probably take us to the end, folks. So we'll just go with that. Thanks for your patience with me. We're going to start with Laura W., followed by Joy M.B. Good morning, Laura.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. It's so good to be on a live meeting. I'm here every day. Haven't shared in a while. Actually, we were fooling ourselves. And, you know, this paragraph, I love, this is one of my favorites also. This reminds me that God is always with me. And why is that? Because God is in me. And you know, I heard that phrase in a movie one time, and it reminded me of this paragraph. And I was like, yeah, anywhere I go, everywhere I go. And, you know, God, it's obscured by calamity. It's obscured by worship of other things. I worshipped food, weight loss. I worshipped money. I worshipped men. I worshipped everything other than a higher power. And I have to tell you, my experience is it's so much easier to worship God, one strong, powerful God, than all of those other dangerous things for me. And you know, all of my emotional problems, all of my my eating disorder, my worship of other things could never be reasoned away. They could never be solved with scientific methods, with logic. You know, logic is great stuff, but for me it was wasted on because I just, you know, it was all about ego and the obsession. And now that I see, after many years of recovery and surrender to my higher power, that, you know, that this faith that I have in God, that it does wane, though it comes and goes, it is it's fact as old as time. I mean, it's been in me and it's been with me since my very first breath. And I'm grateful for that reminder. And you know, God has been able to help me match calamity with serenity in so many instances. And when I don't feel my higher power, I look back and I have to pause and I say, but I know he's there because he has gotten me through some of the most difficult years of my life over the past 10 years. Some of the most tragic things in my life that have happened, with my daughter attempting suicide, with my father dying, with my mother then dying, with, you know, the pain that comes along with watching a member of your family with the same illness that you grew up with is so difficult. It is so, so difficult. But you know, God is in me, and I pray every day to this higher power that I don't see. And for some reason, I just know that he's carrying me one day at a time. But I can only feel this higher power through recovery, through abstinence, and through the fellowship. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Laura W. from New Jersey. Glad to hear you. Next, we've got Joy M. B., followed by Hillary B. Good morning, Joy.
Good morning, and thanks to all of those who helped to put this meeting together. Thanks to you for hosting, and for all the people online who contribute to my nuggets of gold that prop me up and keep me going on the program. You know, I could be called church lady to all of my overeating and my compulsivity and emotional whatever. I tell you, I was church lady every Sunday, every Wednesday, prayer. Took me 80 years to figure it out. I learned to read by reading the 23rd Psalm in the Bible. But, you know, it never occurred to me that my God, the other God, the punishing God, the do right and do better, or I don't like you God, could be interested in my food and my well-being. And I thought, okay, education will do it. Let's go get more degrees. But then through all of that, let's keep eating. And even when I, too, had all those medical bills and I had my right leg split from the knee down and I was up to 360 pounds, it didn't occur to me that the fork-to-mouth disease, what I was putting in my stomach, had anything to do with what was happening to me in life. Bulgy knees, bad hips, worn out, all of the, make a list. I did it. And it took me all this time to figure out that, you know, that sentence in church, you are one with God as a drop of water is one with the sea. I thought, oh, okay. And finally in a meeting, in this meeting with my sponsor, the third sponsor actually, I got it. She led me through the big book page for page, spending 30 minutes with me a morning for probably 4 months, and I got it. And that has meant an incredible change in my life, my relationships with my adult children, my peace, my joy in life has come, and it is the most incredible thing. It's such a gift. So if you're waiting, take me as an example. Go ahead and wait, because it's worth the wait. Do I look back? Am I regretful that I didn't find it earlier? Every single moment, sometimes. But I just give that over. I pass. I say, take that away from me and make me the person that you would have me be. Give me what you want me to do the next moment of my life. And it's the most joyful experience. So for those of you who are waiting, it's going to come. And hang in there and do your vision meetings. I do twice a morning, no matter what. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Joy M. B. from California. Next, we've got Hillary B., followed by Larry G. Good morning, Hillary.
Good morning, Stephanie. Thank you so much for all your service and your cheerfulness. I cannot let this meeting go by without mentioning the spiritual cataracts, calamity, pomp, and worship of other things. I was taught that. I was blown away by such a teaching that, these are what block me spiritually. And I had to look up the definition of these three words. I thought I knew what these three words meant, but it was so powerful seeing calamity. Oh my God, look what he's doing now. Oh my God, why did I marry this man? Oh my gosh, people don't think I'm good enough, or I'm a loser, or all this calamity that was constantly in my head that only food would relieve. Pomp. Oh, I know best. I think I have the answers. You don't need to tell me, I already know. Just pomp, you know, arrogance. I'm better than them. I already know this. You don't have to tell me. I've been in OA a long time. I already know everything. Pay no attention to the fact that I can't get abstinent and worship of other things. Food, of course, men, money, what people think of me, all these things I put before God. And I was miserable all the time. I suffered from so much depression. I'm so grateful that I don't get depressed. I don't take medication for it anymore. And it's a whole new world. And to think that it's as simple as, noticing these cataracts that block me from seeing God, from turning my will and my life over to the care of a being, a force that's greater than I am, who can solve my problems if I get out of the way, if I quit living according to these spiritual cataracts and thinking I'm seeing reality instead of that I'm putting blinders on where I can only see what my ego tells me to see, what my broken self tells me is real. And so I'm very, very grateful for this paragraph, for this teaching. You know, there's so many amazing, wonderful teachings in this book, and this is one of them. Thank you for listening.
Well, thank you so much, Hillary B. from California. Next, we've got Larry G., followed by Denise H. Good morning, Larry.
Morning, Stephanie. Oh, my God. When us geese chime in, we're all talking at the same time. I mean, you're a miracle worker that will sort that out. Larry G. from California. All you know that you're just unbelievable children of God or children of the higher power or misunderstanding. I love you all. This program is the last, this fellowship, last neighborhood, last house in the block. I owe so much to it. But, you know, I'm not going to talk about the past. I'm going to talk about right now. I have felt distance from God because one more time I've been putting my faith and trust in the white psychologist, that metal scale with that little dial. And if it doesn't go down, I'm depressed. If it doesn't go down enough, I'm depressed. If it goes up, I'm depressed. And I've been putting my faith in that. And all you guys know that I've been working on volume. That's the next phase for me. And I've been doing well with that, but I haven't lost weight. I got on it the other day and I'm at the same weight that I've been at the last 2 years. And, you know, rather than feeling good about myself and feeling good about recovery, I should be joyful. I should be jumping up and down that I've been relieved from the bondage of flour and sugar. And I've lost 110 pounds and I'm maintaining that. And I got on that scale and, oh my God, I was so depressed. And I realized that, oh, Larry, you're turning your life and will over the care of the white psychologist one more time. And this is not a kind psychologist. So there's a pair of pants I have been, it's the last pair of pants. I haven't washed all my clothes yet. And I said, okay, I'm going to try these on. I've been avoiding them because it got tight about 6 months ago. And I got in them, and they're loose on me. They're loose. And God, the voice, that little intuitive voice spoke to me and said, Larry, you're at 235, which is 10 pounds away from your senior weight in high school. And I was one of these guys that was in great shape. I was not overweight. Now, my heart goes out to those men who took the abuse from people regarding their weight and their family. But I didn't have – that was one problem I didn't have. I'm 10 pounds away, and I've been resurrected from the dead, and here I am depressed about my recovery and wanting to give up because the white psychologist didn't say I lost weight because I'm doing – saying from volume. You know, then the voice said, you know, Larry, you work out 5 days a week. You're in the pool. You're on the bike. You're lifting heavy weights. The reason it's at 235 is because you put weight on as a result of the workouts. And I'm not saying that as a badge of honor. I'm just saying that as it was awakening. And so I have been disconnected from the power grade myself one more time. And you know what? If I have a choice to pick between volume, recovering from volume, or flour and sugar, I swear to God, I will pick recovery from flour and sugar 10 out of 10 times.
Time.
Okay. I'm sorry to get on my pedestal. I'm just really excited about this discovery, and I hope I didn't offend anybody because of my passion here, but I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Larry G. And next, we're going to have Denise H. And I overshot the mark. I don't think we're going to get to Carrie or Jan. So sorry about that, but we'll see how it goes. Go for it, Denise.
Oh, hello. I am Denise H., food addict from beautiful Kansas. And thank you so, so much for your service and having this meeting. And thank you for allowing me to share. I am an old-timer and a long-timer in the 12-step program, and lots of ups and downs and ins and outs. But today I live happy, joyous, and free, focused on my higher power. And I don't have to do anything. I get up in the morning, I give myself permission to do nothing, and I turn it all over to my higher power. I just want to be in total surrender 24/7. And of course, I'm a human being and I get shook. So basically my program today, after these years, the results of striving in the program, I don't have to strive anymore. I just need to keep peace and connection. Okay, so yesterday I got shook. I felt like I had icy water inside my core and sharp pieces of glass. Okay, I'm shook. I feel it in my body. That's how I know. So I stopped everything and I sought peace. I relied on every resource I've ever had in 75 years of life, and my only goal was to have peace. And then it's just like trauma, peace, connection, surrender. Trauma, peace, connection, surrender. That's my life. And I am abstinent sober, and I'm even, you know, there was a lot of areas that my addictive personality would come out. They're all shut down. And I just don't have to worry about it. I don't have to do anything. But when the trauma happens, it's seek that peace, connection, and surrender. That's all I do. I don't weigh myself. I get weighed at the doctor. I'm a woman that has worn a 5X, okay? I'm a woman that's been totally sedated for years on psychotropics. I don't have to take any prescriptions. I keep a 32-inch waist. I don't torture myself with the scale, because a woman, our bodies, you know, I mean, you could have 5 pounds of water weight, but, you know, it's just crazy. Weight is crazy for a female. And just the way our hormones and all our body works, you know, little extra salt, boom, 3 pounds, you know. So I only measure my waist. I keep a 32-inch waist. If it's 32 and a half, my alarms go off, and I get back to 32 right away. And 32 sounds big, I know. I'm not a petite woman. I'm built like a Amazon princess warrior. I have a large frame. So at a 32-inch waist, you know, I'm thank you. I'm almost a bony Maroney. Okay, thank you so much for allowing me to share. I'll pass and I'll mute.
Thanks, Denise H. from Kansas. And sorry, guys, we're out of time for Carrie and Jan. Please come back on Monday and share. We're going to now close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Shelley E., can you please read A Vision for You?
You bet I can. Here I am. I got disconnected a couple of times, but I'm back. I'm Shelley E., a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. The Big Book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick.
The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past, hear freely of what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thanks for letting me do service in the past.